If you would please turn to the book of Ezekiel chapter 33. Book of Ezekiel chapter 3. I'm thankful for God's amazing grace. We'll read this passage in just a few moments. So we're in Ezekiel chapter 33. As parents, we can only do so much. We do what we can to teach and to train our children in those things which are right. We try to educate them about life and living and how to do both properly. We also train up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, praying that they will hear and respond well. We attempt not only to teach, but also to be the kind of example they need to see. We do our best. But the truth is, we cannot make children do. We can guide them, teach them, direct them, protect them, help them, and yes, even warn them, but they must ultimately choose their path. And sometimes that choice is not good. Sometimes it is wrong. Sometimes our children bring to themselves swift and sudden destruction. And yes, despite all of our best efforts, a child will come to ruin. You know, such is true in the spiritual realm as well. As a preacher, I can preach, teach, lead, and guide, pray and plead, doing all that I can to direct you to Jesus. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Well, it may fall upon deaf ears. And again, the truth is, I cannot make others do. And despite all my or your best efforts, people will come to ruin. Today, I direct my words to those who hear and to those who have heard. And once again, I extend a plea for you to take warning. The text before us is most often spoken of as an exhortation to the watchman, and rightly so. But I would like for us to look into this passage, and though I will briefly notice the watchman, I especially want to consider those who are warned. And so I want to speak to you today out of this text, a message which I've entitled, "A Word to Those Who Have Been Warned." Let's pray. God in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for those that are here. And Lord, we know there are some who would desire to be here that could not due to sickness or providential hindrance. We pray that you would heal them. Those that are traveling, keep those safe. And Father, we ask as we come together in your name today that we might honor you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we pray that we might worship you. We ask that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, help me to give that message which you've laid upon my heart for your people at this time. And I pray that your will be accomplished. We pray for the lost, that they might be saved. And those of us who are saved, we might respond well to you and be found faithful in our life and service. Lord, forgive us for where we fall short. And we commit this time to you today, and we honor you with it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are in Ezekiel chapter 33, and a word to those who have been warned. Well, I mentioned that I would speak briefly to the watchman, and my message really consists of those two points. We're going to talk about the watchman and the warned. And so I want to think, first of all, about the watchman. Now, before we look into the text, you will find that word watchman. That'll be described within a text, and that word means a lookout, someone who is a guard, a sentry, a sentinel. And so it's somebody who is watching out for something. We're familiar with the term watchman. I've had several friends of mine, fellow preachers and just friends, that worked a job as a night watchman. We know what they do. They're people who look out for something. And so the text will discuss a watchman. I think of, you know, when the servant came to Jacob and told Jacob that Esau was coming with 400 men. He was a watchman. He was telling him in advance. David, when he was in the wilderness, he had spies that would warn him of Saul and his coming. And so King Saul would come out to chase David in the wilderness, and the spies would let them know they were watchmen. I think of the text over there in the scriptures where that the watchman was on the wall, and Jehoram was the king of Israel. And the watchman looked out over the wall and saw a guy riding. He says, that's Jehu, because he drives furiously. And Jehu's coming to execute judgment upon the house of Ahab. A watchman. Well, that's what we find in our text as God speaks to Ezekiel. And I want you to notice, first of all, in regard to the watchmen, verse 1 and verse 2, that watchmen are appointed, and they are appointed to warn. Verse 1, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. And what we find here is, and remember, Ezekiel was carried off into captivity. He was in Babylonian, he was a captive to the Babylonians there. And, well, Israel still had several waves of destruction by the Babylonians yet to come. And God comes to Ezekiel and says, I'm going to set you to speak. And when you speak to these people, I want you to tell them in regard to when the sword comes, when the Babylonians are coming. It's just you're being a watchman to them, and then what they might do, knowing that this might be the case, they're going to set a watchman on the wall, and they're going to be looking for the enemy to come. And so they said in the text there, he says that if they take a man of their coast and set him up for their watchman. A watchman is someone who is appointed to watch. What's he looking for? He's looking for enemy. He's looking for danger, looking for something that would be counterproductive to the culture. And so the guy's on guard. And what's he supposed to do when he sees it? He's supposed to sound the warning. And so he says, they're going to set a watchman up, and he is going to warn when the sword is coming, when the enemy will be approaching. Now keep that in mind, certainly in a spiritual application, that as God's people, we are appointed as watchmen. We are to be a speaker and to tell people and warn people of coming judgment and of the wrath of God. Well, the watchman is appointed to watch and to warn. Number two, you look into verse 3, they are to sound the warning. So when they see this danger coming, verse 3, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. That was his task. That's what he's supposed to do. Kind of like a fellow out there, it might be on a aircraft carrier out in the Atlantic, and you got these guys watching the radar. What are they watching for? They're looking for the enemy. And so this thing just keeps sweeping around there. Well, that's okay, but when they see a bleep, they better bring it to somebody's attention because something is out there that isn't supposed to be there. And so a watchman is appointed to watch. Now, when he sees it, he's not supposed to go, oh, wow, that's cool. He's supposed to respond. He's supposed to warn the people. That's what his task is. And so as children of God, we are watchmen and we are to warn because we see the judgment coming. Now, verse 4 down through verse 6, there certainly is responsibility of the watchman. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But notice, if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. And so we find that there is a responsibility. Now the responsibility certainly is upon those who hear the warning. Hey, if they hear the warning, they need to take action, they need to respond. But these verses talk about the watchman's responsibility as well. And it's the matter of when you see the sword, you are to sound. So if the watchman sees the sword come, the Babylonians are attacking Jerusalem, they sound the warning, then the people can prepare. They can take defensive positions. And if someone chooses not to, well, that's his own responsibility, isn't it? But what if the guy sees the sword come and doesn't sound the warning? Well, the Babylonians may come in. They still make take the city, and people may be killed and carried away into captivity. And it's for their own sin. It's still judgment upon the city for their own consequence and disobedience to God. But fact is, he says, then I will hold the watchmen accountable for their blood. Accountability isn't there. And so as Christians, we have an accountability to sound. It's our responsibility. We want to warn. We want to tell people about the dangers that are coming, the judgment, the wrath of God upon those who are not redeemed. We are to be a witness for Jesus Christ, and we are to sound the trumpet. And if they don't want to respond, well, then that's their choice. But you know what? If we don't sound, if we don't tell, They'll still die in their sin, and they'll still die and go to hell, but where's the responsibility lie? The blood will be held accountable. So let us be the kind of watchmen we need to be. As a matter of fact, as you follow through in these verses, there's a spiritual application here in verse 7 through verse 9. And this is in regard to Ezekiel and speaking to the children of Israel. So we read down through verse 6. Notice this application. So thou, O son of man, verse 7, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. And so Ezekiel is a prophet, and when God tells him to speak, he better speak. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Now, primarily, I believe the major emphasis here is the physical responsibility of Ezekiel to preach and to teach, because the nation of Israel has been so disobedient against God that God is bringing judgment against them, and the Babylonians are coming and performing that judgment. The main thrust is physical death and of accountability, but certainly there is a spiritual application here. And that application is in regard to salvation and the life. Just like a prophet then should speak the truth of God so that the people can hear and respond, it is still our obligation today to speak the word of God, share the word of the Lord so that people may hear and that they may respond. Well, we see in these six verses, and then the spiritual application, the matter of the watchman and the responsibility. But as I promised you, we would not stay very long on that subject. We want to think about those who are warned. And as we do, we're going to go back and we're going to look into this text. And of course, my emphasis today will be a spiritual emphasis. And I want to speak to those of us who are children of God, who perhaps need to hear and to take warning. And it is for those who are lost. You're here, you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're a child of the world. You too need to hear, and you need to take warning. So let's think about the warned. First of all, back in verse 2 and verse 3, there's a mention of imminent danger. Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring a sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, the sword is coming. And what we really find in this text, and I've already alluded to it in the description before now, it's just the fact that God is warning his people of their disobedience. You've gone away from me. I'm going to bring judgment upon you, and so I'm going to bring this judgment because of your sin, because of your own iniquity, because of your departure. And so God warns them, and you find in the text that God judges them for their disobedience. You know, it's funny that even among Christians, they get the concept, well, I'm saved, and I don't have to worry about anything. God will never, ever bring me into judgment. That's a mistake, my friend. The fact is, God does judge his people, and judgment begins at the house of the Lord first, and then it extends outward. People think that they can do whatever they want, live however they please, and there's no God to judge them. That simply isn't true. There is a God of this universe. He sits on his throne, and dear sinner friend, you need to know that one of these days you'll give an account before this holy God. And so recognize there is imminent danger. So the passage tells about, hey, warn this people because they've been disobedient. Tell them that God is going to judge them for their disobedience. And so they're going to set a watchman. In this case, it would be someone on the city walls to watch for the Babylonian enemy coming up against them. But the watchman is to watch for the sword when it comes so they might be able to warn the people. Now, as I mentioned, dear Christian, you know what? We just can't say, well, I'm saved, we can do whatever we please. It's really not our obligation to do so. When we were saved, we were born into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, and we have an obligation to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we read in the Scriptures how that God chastens every son whom he receives. He scourges every son. And so, just like a parent ought to discipline their child, God will discipline his children. And so, dear saved person, dear believer, don't think for a moment, well, I can just live however I want now. I have an escape route from out of hell, and so I can just get to heaven, and everything will be just fine. You know what? There's consequences to your decisions. You want to make poor decisions as a Christian? You can. You want to get out in the world and live ungodly? You can try for that too. But you know what? I tell you, God will judge you. God will bring punishment upon you. Some people, I believe, even die early because they just won't respond to God's promptings. And God, as it were, God tapping on the shoulder. They just won't listen. They won't heed the warning. That's true for Christians. And surely, Christian, I hope that you understand that you will give an account at the Bema Seat of Christ. You know what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10? He said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad." I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I have forgiveness of my sins, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, but you know what? There's one day that I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and I will give an account of the deeds that I've done in this flesh. We cannot escape the judgment of God. That's not I'm going to lose my salvation, be cast into hell or anything like that. But the truth is, sometimes as Christians, we look at the Scriptures and we hear the preacher preach or the teacher teach, and we just won't listen, and we won't take warning, and we go our merry way. And we do that which is right in our own eyes. We'll realize there is imminent danger, my friend. And God just may well withhold His grace and just let you go. And then you'll see what it's like to be without the graces of God in your life and see how far you can go down and how quickly that can happen. But you know, if you're here and you're lost, I want to speak to the unsaved person for just a moment. I want you to know that there's a hell out there. There's a judgment that's coming. The wrath of God is evident. Now, I'm just not talking about what we see in our society and how God will judge the sin of our nation or judge the sin of our people. I'm talking about the spiritual thing. There is a hell. I believe it's real. I believe it's literal. And you know what? You can deny it all you wish. But when people die out of this life and they go to the next life, they either go to heaven or they go to hell. They're either in eternal life or they're in eternal death. And you're going to one of those places, which is it? And so, dear sinner, I want you to know that there's a judgment there. There's a hell. There's imminent danger. I've heard preachers preach for many years and they'll say, you'll die and split hell wide open. And you need to understand it. You know what? Every breath you take could be your last. And dear sinner, you might just then drop off into hell and be in torment and flame for all eternity. Yeah, that's danger. It's very real and it's very literal. So there is imminent danger, isn't it? And no doubt you've heard it many times in the past and you'll probably continue to hear it. Then if you'll notice in verse 3, well, we know that the danger is imminent, but then the warning is sounded. The latter part of verse 3, it says, when he sees the sword come upon the land, and he blow the trumpet. And he warns the people. Yes, the enemy is coming. The Babylonians are here. Sound the alarm. Get ready. And that's what the watchman was supposed to do. And so, dear Christian, I just want to remind you, you've been encouraged to live for Jesus Christ. You hear the preaching of God's Word, the teaching, and hopefully you read it in your own time. Let God's Word speak to your heart. Let those words not only encourage you, but warn you of inappropriate conduct. Let God guide your life. You've heard it. You've been warned. It's like, you know, preachers and teachers and Sunday school teachers, they'll warn the young people. You know what? The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And we'll tell young people, you know what? As you begin to date and you begin to look for a marriage partner, don't, if you're a Christian, do not marry a lost person. In fact, don't even date them because every date's a potential marriage. And so you need to remember that, you know what, as a Christian, you only want to date Christians. And by the way, I'll be a little bit more narrow than that. I think if you're a Baptist, you ought to date a Baptist because, well, you say, you kind of narrow. But the point is, when you get married, what church are you going to go to? What are you going to teach your children? How are you going to rear them? How are you going to train them up? Now, I know you can be a different denomination and still make things work and still be saved and all. I realize that, but I'll tell you, you're going to have some struggle. What are you going to teach them? But anyway, the Scripture says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And you hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it. And you know what? Still kids will get out, and they'll still marry lost people. They'll do it. I will not marry, I would not knowingly perform the wedding ceremony of people that one is saved and one is lost. I will not knowingly do that. The Bible says, don't do that. And yet, you hear the warning, and people still just do what they want. But the warning's been sounded. You've heard. And so unsaved person, I've already mentioned hell, I mentioned death, I mentioned judgment. You've heard it. And you're all not new faces. You're very familiar. You've heard it over and over and over again. You have been warned. You're a sinner. You're condemned. You need the Savior. There isn't anything you can do about your sin, but the Savior died on the cross that sinners might have eternal life. And if you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. You can have forgiveness of sins, but you cannot do it. You're not good enough. You're depraved. And so realize you have been warned, and we're going to keep sounding that trumpet over and over and over again. Let's think for a moment about the danger and the warning. This area where we live in, it's not unfamiliar, and we're coming up to that cycle of the year now where we're going to hear a lot of tornado warnings. And we have a siren system in this city and in the county. And so if a tornado is spotted on the ground or else they see it on the radar, you know what they'll do? They'll set off the sirens here at all time, haven't you? Well, that's the danger, isn't it? The danger is the tornado is coming, but then you have the warning, you have the sound. And so, and they, by the way, they test them every Wednesday, I believe, at 12 o'clock, so don't get excited on Wednesdays at 12 that there's a tornado coming. Check your newscast first. But if it's stormy out and you hear that thing go off, you better be turning on the TV or getting on your iPad or something and find out what's going on, because they feel that there's danger and they have set out the warning. Now, all of us know that sometimes when tornado warnings go out and sirens go off, sometimes there is no warning. Sometimes this system comes in so quick. We saw it about a year or so ago. I think it was up in Missouri. It came so fast out of nowhere. All of a sudden, tornado was there and wiped out the town, and a bunch of people were killed. And you know what? There was no warning. But people still died. And if you really make application, I believe God's a sovereign God. Nothing happens except it comes through His hands. God permitted that thing to come about. God permitted that there was no warning for them. And they still died in their own sin. They died in their own judgment. But there was no warning. Wouldn't you rather have a warning? Absolutely. Sometimes that warning's imperfect. But even if it is imperfect, you still need to understand you're responsible. You're responsible. So the warning's been sounded. Look into verse 4. First part of the verse. I submit unto you that, I'm talking to those who've been warned, you must be willing to hear. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet. In other words, don't plug your ears. Don't attempt to deny it. Don't train yourself to ignore it. You know, we get in a service like this and people start hearing, I'll start talking about judgment and sin and death and hell and all that kind of thing. You know what people will do? Well, I've heard that before. I don't need to listen to this. I mean, you check out. You're done thinking about something else because, oh, I've heard that before. No need to go over that old hat. You're lost. You're not interested. You don't care. And so you train yourself to ignore it. Just like, how many of you hear an alarm go off in your neighborhood? Somebody's house alarm go off. And you don't even bother to get up and look out the window. I've been guilty of that. Car alarm will go off, you go out and look. Sometimes you do, maybe sometimes you don't. You know what you do? You train yourself not to listen. My neighbor's alarm will go off. It'll run for 5 or 10 minutes. And sometimes I'll go out and look. Sometimes I won't. But all you do is go, boy, I wish I'd turn that off. But what it is you're training yourself. If every time you hear the sirens in Memphis, you go, well, a tornado, we never had one. I'm just not going to pay any attention to it. You can do it if you want, but I'll tell you, you need to be willing to hear. At least check it out. I turn on the TV. I do. I get the weather. I get the... you may think I'm bad about this, but when that siren goes off, Shelby County is a large county. And so when they say there's a tornado warning in the county, I get the radar. And I see where that vector is, you know, because if it's down south around the airport, I'm not going to go hide in my closet. You know why? Because it isn't anywhere near me. It's 15 miles away. But if I look, turn on the TV and I see that vector and my house is in that vector, then I'm going to respond. You know why? Because I've been warned. I've been warned. I mean, if you want, every time you hear the siren, you want to go run in your closet, you go right ahead. My suggestion would be Man, turn on the news, see where that thing is at, unless you just love staying in your closet. But it's entirely up to you. Do what you wish. I wouldn't want to ever put you in harm's way. But you have to be willing to hear. And what I found is, you know what, there are some people in this world, they don't want to hear. You begin to talk to them about sin, you talk to them about judgment, death, and hell, they don't want to hear it. They say, don't talk to me. You have your way, I have mine. Well, you don't want to hear the warning, do you? You don't want to listen. Look at verse 4, the latter part of the verse. Not only must you be willing to hear, I think you ought to respond. It says that whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning. The warning is sounded, you've heard it, but you choose not to act. I'll tell you, if the enemy comes, then you must take your place on the wall. Arise from sleep. I'm reminded of Nehemiah chapter 4. I was going to read that passage, but I've kind of chased too many rabbits here, so you can look at that. It's in the outline. But Nehemiah was back building the wall, and he had a lot of trouble, a lot of problems from these people. And you know what they had to do? They fought with, they would build the wall with one hand, they'd have the sword right beside him, Nehemiah said, I know we're scattered, but when we blow the trumpet, you go to the trumpet, and we'll fight our enemy there. Because they didn't know where the enemy was going to come from. So they had watchmen, and when you hear the trumpet, that's where you go. And I'll tell you, my friend, when you hear the warning, you need to respond. If a tornado was coming, you hear the sirens, you check it out. Take cover. Be ready. Christian, hear the word. Respond to the word. Don't just ignore the preacher. Just don't ignore the teacher. Just don't ignore your parents. God, they're giving you the word of God. It's important. Don't just shut them out. Take warning. You must respond. Unsaved person, hear the word. Believe it. I'm telling you the truth about Jesus Christ. I'm telling you the truth about your condition and sin and the judgment that awaits you. You must be born again. Listen. Take heed. Respond. You must respond. And so he says, well, whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning. Some simply will not listen. Despite all the effort, despite the words of warning, some will not heed that warning. Every parent has experienced that as they speak to their children and try to convince them of certain things in their life, and it's like water off a duck's back. You know, it just rolls off. Well, you can only do so much. Just going to have to learn the hard way. But I'll tell you, my friend, it's much easier just to take the lesson and heed the warning and respond. And so in a secular sense or in a spiritual sense, either way, my friend, heed the warning. This person here, he says, if he doesn't take warning, what happens? Judgment's going to come. Now, what I would like to do, there are some excuses which may be offered as to why people do not take warning. These are not original with me. They are listed in the bulletin. I even mentioned the source where I received these. But I'm going to touch on these very quick, and then I'll be finished. Here's an excuse that might be offered not to take warning. Number one, you might say, I did not believe that there was a necessity to respond. You don't think the danger exists. Well, the Bible teaches that there is a danger. There is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain, my friend. You have sinned against a holy God. There is spiritual danger out there. For Christians, there's spiritual warfare that goes on. And so you must see that there is danger ahead. I mean, I'll tell you, if I'm driving down the road and the bridge is out, I'm glad there's a sign there that says, bridge is out. Wouldn't you rather have that sign? Well, some people say, well, I don't think there's really a necessity. Some people look at the sign and just keep right on driving. And some of you will hear, and you just don't think it's important. You don't think it's that big of a deal. And you're going to do what you want anyway, dear Christian or unbeliever. You're going to go your merry way and take your chances. You know what? You just don't think there's a necessity. And you're not going to heed the warning. Number two, you might say, I don't like the trumpet. You know, a lot of people are offended at the preaching of the gospel. We talk about Jesus Christ, how he was crucified, buried, and risen again. That salvation is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's offensive to many. And you know what? God is the one who made the gospel. Don't be offended at the gospel. The gospel is good news. But I mean, really, if a tornado is coming to this area and the siren goes off, are you going to respond because you don't like the siren? You don't like the shrill? Boy, I wish I had a lower pitch or a higher pitch or something like that. Are you not going to respond because you don't like the trumpet? take a guy that's drowning. He's overboard, and they take a rope and they throw it to him. And a guy grabs a rope. Here you are. You're out there in the ocean. You grab the rope and you look at it. It says on there, "Made in Taiwan." You go, "Well, I'm not going to use that. It's not made in USA." You going to throw that rope away because you don't like the rope? Of course not. You're drowning. You need the rope. But yet some excuses will be made. I don't think there's any necessity. I don't like the trumpet. Number three, I did not like the man who blew the trumpet. Can you imagine out there in that water, you're out there drowning, and they throw you a rope, and you go, "But I don't like that guy. We've always been enemies. He's got the other end of the rope. He can pull you in, but I don't like him. I'm not taking the rope." You know, some people won't listen to the message because they don't like the preacher. "I don't like that guy." So they won't listen. You just don't like the man who blew the trumpet. Well, maybe you have a valid reason not to like him, but you know what? The trumpet is still blowing, and the warning is being given. Number four, you say it's for others, but not for me. You think that warning belongs to someone else. But I'll tell you, the danger is upon everyone. The tornado, when it comes, you know, it threatens everybody in the path of that tornado, that vector they put up there. It affects everyone. And you can say, "It's not going to affect me. It's not going to affect me." It might. It might. As a drowning man in the ocean, you need to realize that you're drowning. And so, my friend, it is for you. When the warning is sounded, listen, danger is imminent. Number five, I'm too busy to be concerned. Are you too busy to grab a rope as a drowning man? Are you too busy to escape a burning house? Christian, you're not that busy that you can't follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But unbeliever, you're not that busy that you can't repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Life is not that important when you come to spiritual things. Number six, you might say, "I thought I had time. Thought I had time." You know, every now and then you run into somebody that has that perspective. "Well, I know what you're saying, preacher, and I know that I need to be saved, but not yet. I've got my wild oats to sow, and I've got my life ahead of me, and not yet." I tell you, you think you have time, you may not. You ought to take heed. You ought to warn. You must respond to the warning. Will you heed the call, or will you neglect it? Look back in verse 4 for just a moment. The last thing is this. I think you need to understand that you must accept the consequences of your response. Verse 4, latter part of the verse. "If the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head." That's the guy that wouldn't take warning. "He heard the sound of the trumpet, and he took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul." He heard, he responded. So when you hear the warning, how are you going to choose? If you prepare, that's a good thing. If you choose not to, then you'll die, or you'll be hurt, or you know what, sinner, you're going to lift up your eyes in hell. What is your response to a tornado? How do you react to that siren? You're accountable for how you react. You're a man overboard. They throw you a rope. Whether you take the rope, don't take the rope, you know, you're accountable for how you react. Young person, parents are teaching, training, doing all they can to help, direct, guide, give you warning after warning, saying, "Listen, you better be careful. You know what? You can go your merry way if you wish, but I'll tell you, take heed. Take heed. And you'll be accountable for the decisions you make. If you want to neglect it, neglect it. But you'll be accountable. If you'll listen, you'll be glad that you did. Christian, your response to biblical exhortation. I mean, young people, you want to go out and marry a lost person? You can choose to do that. You'll regret it. You'll regret it. Christian, you want to live like the world? Go out and act like them, be like them, look like them, do everything that the world does? You'll regret it. There's judgment attached to that. Heed the warning. And then lost person. You that are unsaved. Your response to the gospel. You've heard it over and over and over. You know that you're a sinner, you're lost, you're damned, you're doomed to a devil's hell. We've told you about the Savior time and time again. You have yet to heed the warning. You will not believe. You will not be saved. Just know that that's your responsibility. You're under obligation. And you'll not stand before God and say, "Well, nobody ever told me. I never heard. I didn't know." You know. You're obligated. Sinner, would you be saved today? I finish with this quote from Charles Spurgeon. "The sinner will perish. He will perish certainly, but last of all, he will perish without excuse. His blood shall be upon his own head. When a man is bankrupt, If he can say, well, it is not through reckless trading. I have been entirely through the I've been entirely through the dishonesty of one that I trusted that I am what I am. Then he takes consolation and says, I can't help it. So if you go bankrupt and it's your manager, well, you can console yourself. He says, but oh, if you make bankrupts of your own soul after you have been warned, then your own eternal bankruptcy shall lie at your own door. My friend, you've been warned. And if you die bankrupt spiritually, that's your responsibility. That's what Spurgeon is saying. That's what I say to you. And it's a word to those who have been warned. Will you finally hear? Will you finally respond? Will you be what God would have you to be? I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this, right where you stand as God speaks to your heart, moves in your soul, whether you're saved or whether you're lost. If God's prompting you today, warning you, tapping you on the shoulder, getting your attention, moving in your spirit, I'll tell you, you know what? You need to respond. Do what God would have you to do. Be as God would have you to be. Sinner, would you be saved? Christian, would you be found faithful? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for this time to share your word. I pray that you bless us to our hearts, draw us to you, forgive us where we fall short. Lord, help us to be willing to hear. May we take heed, grant us every grace we need to do so. We ask you to save the lost and strengthen your people. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?
Number 307. 307. Save their soul for this day. Watch over us as we go to have lunch. Bring us back against that, Lord, to the 2 o'clock service. It be thy will. Amen.